My brothers and sisters in the Lord, I came across a story some time back which was being recalled by a mother. And the mother was at the local grocery store in a small town. And as she was in the checkout line, she noticed that the bag boy was sort of eyeing her two children with this sort of confused look on his face. And she said that was pretty normal because her two children were adopted. And one was a blonde-haired Russian, and the other was a dark-skinned Haitian. And so she just kind of chuckled to herself as she saw the look on the bag boy's face. And as the young man was helping her to bring the groceries to her car, he asked her a question. He said, "Ma'am, are those your children?" And she said, "Yes, they are." And he said, "Are they adopted?" And she said, "Yes, they are." And then he just smiled and said to her, "Well, I'm glad, because as I looked at them, I figured you were too old to have children that young." Externals. Sometimes we get them right, and sometimes we get them wrong. But you see, my brothers and sisters, so many times in our life we're focused on the externals that we forget or we miss the movement of the Spirit within our hearts. Our first reading today, taken from the book of Kings, is a wonderful reading about the prophet Elijah. And to give you a little background to this particular reading, you may recall that during this period of time in Israel, it was not one of those prosperous times for the kingdom. It was a time of severe famine and drought. It was also a time of severe idolatry. Most of the people, including the king, had fallen away from the God of Israel and were worshiping idols. It was the time of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who wasn't known for her kindness. And so Elijah was being persecuted. In fact, he was being hunted down by King Ahab and Jezebel. And God told him to go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath, my brothers and sisters, was a region of the Gentiles. It was a region where they did worship the idols. And it was also not far from Queen Jezebel's hometown. And so we may ask ourselves, why would God send Elijah that close to the queen's henchmen? And at the same time, he says, "Elijah, go to Zarephath, and a widow will feed you." And if you know anything about biblical history, you know that during the times of famine and drought, some of the worst individuals were those who were widows, because they had no one to provide for them unless they had older children, especially older sons, in order to take care of their needs. So here is Elijah being persecuted, being hunted down, and the Lord says to him, "Go to the land where they are worshiping idols, close to Queen Jezebel's henchmen, and a widow who probably has nothing is going to take care of you." And what does Elijah do? He goes. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's one of the first lessons in living an abundant life. When God says go, you go. When God says leave something behind, you leave it behind. You see, Elijah responded, and he responded in faith, even though all the externals didn't add up. It didn't make sense, but he went. And when he got to the gate of Zarephath, he met the widow. You see, my brothers and sisters, in our own lives, do we respond to the call of God in our life? Do we listen? And do we go? There's an old story, many of you may have heard it before. There was an elderly man who lived in the woods in a log cabin, and he was very poor, so he couldn't afford to go and see the town doctor, and he was very sick. And so one night he had a dream, and in the dream the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, "There's a great rock outside of your cabin, like 50 feet away from the front door. I want you to go and push on that rock." And he woke up. And so in faith, the man went and he went and he went and he pushed on the rock. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Until one day, he kind of got discouraged as he looked at that rock. And he tried to find a measuring tape to see how far the rock had moved. And when he put the tape down, he realized it hadn't moved at all. And so he sat on the porch, and he began to cry. And the Lord Jesus appeared to him again and said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "I don't understand. You told me several months ago to push on that rock, and I've been pushing each and every day, almost all day long, for weeks and months, and it hasn't moved." And the Lord Jesus said to the man, "I told you to push on the rock. I never told you to move it." And the Lord just disappeared. And when the man went and eventually looked in the mirror, he saw the transformation in his body. This old, weak, feeble man was now in a very healthy spirit because he responded and he pushed on that rock. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have to discern the call of God in our life. And sometimes, our brothers and sisters, it doesn't make sense in our own mind or in the eyes of the world. But when God says go, we go. When God says push the rock, we push the rock, even if it doesn't move an inch. And so Elijah went, and there at the city gate, he found the widow. She was picking up sticks, and Elijah called out to her to bring him a drink of water. And the widow, in her kindness, remember, she was not a Jew. She was a pagan. She worshiped idols. But in a spirit of kindness, she responded, even in a time of drought, to bring Elijah a drink of water. And as she was leaving, Elijah called out to her again, "And also bring me a piece of bread." And then I think she got a little frustrated. Because as you know the story, she says to Elijah, "All I have left is a little oil and a little flour, enough to make one piece of bread, one cake. And I'm going home with these sticks in order to bake it for my son and I to eat, and then we shall die." It was going to be their last meal. Her son was not old enough to support her. He was young. And Elijah says to the widow, "But the word of the Lord says, if you go and make this one cake for me first, and then one for you and your son, the oil will never dry up, the flour will never go empty until the rain comes." And the woman went home, the widow went home, and so it came to be. Can you imagine the astonishment in her life as she heard this man speak to her about a God that she did not know about? Meeting her needs. And all is going well until we get to the portion of today's reading, where her son now has fallen ill and is on the point of death, or maybe has even died. And notice what the widow says. So she said to Elijah, "Why have you done this to me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my attention to my guilt and kill my son?" How many times do we respond like that, my friends? We ask the Lord for something. We pray about something. Everything's going well, and then there's a little kink in the path. And we're like one of those mosquitoes on the interstate that just splashes on our windshield. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn. We begin to doubt. We begin to lose faith. And then Elijah takes the boy upstairs, prays over him. And he is resuscitated from the dead. You can see the connection between the first reading and the gospel today, as Jesus becomes the fulfillment of that faith. And what happens to the woman, the pagan, the one who worshiped idols? The woman replied to Elijah, "Now indeed I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord comes truly from your mouth." She comes to faith. She comes to believe. You see, my brothers and sisters, in our own lives, when we respond in faith, when the Lord says go and we go, and he says push and we push, what kind of example are we giving to others? When we decide that we're just going to give up because things are not going as we planned, do we bring other people to faith? And do we allow that seed of faith that has been planted in our heart to be planted in other individuals who maybe have lost the faith, who maybe have never heard the proclamation of the gospel, who have allowed the proclamation of the gospel to wither and die within them? You see, in the end, my brothers and sisters, it's a twofold command. We must respond in faith, and by the way we respond, by our witness, we are called to bring others closer to the heart of Jesus. In the end, my brothers and sisters, it's not about the externals, because oftentimes we can get those wrong. But it's about what's going on in our heart and the call of the Lord in our life. The widow was at the end of her rope, but she came to faith through the witness of Elijah. What about us, my friends? When we're at the end of our rope, do we walk out in faith, or do we sit in our own pity party?